So in 1967, a soda company decided that they were struggling. They needed something different. They had a good product, but nobody was drinking it. And compared to the other sodas that were out there, Coca-Cola, Dr. Pepper, some of those, they just didn't match up to the sales and all that was going on with what they were doing. And so they figured it was time to rebrand. Try to connect with the culture and the community at the time and the world at the time. So they decided to come up with a pretty trendy slogan. Now, before this, 7-Up really wasn't all that well known. Really, if you think of 7-Up, especially in 1967, most people would equate 7-Up with really drinking that when you have an upset stomach. That's really what it was mainly used for. And so they wanted to move past that. So in 1967, they brought all their big thinkers together, and 7-Up came up with a slogan that you guys know. Anybody can say the slogan that they came up with? Think of 7-Up. The Un-Cola. That's right. The Un-Cola. So for the next several decades, that slogan, the Un-Cola, really kind of caught fire and became very popular. It became almost a cultural kind of norm for a lot of people. It had a following. Matter of fact, it was so popular that they gained so many soda drinkers that kind of zeroed in on 7-Up that it followed this group of people for generations. Like, it just kept going for decades. Eventually, what happened after so many years, and what we find even here today with 7-Up, is that people that were younger stopped drinking, wouldn't drink 7-Up because they equated that with old people. And so that's how much loyalty was to drink the Un-Cola because of that rebranding that took place in 1967. It really caught fire and had a pretty strong following. Recently, later on, they decided to rebrand once again and do something different. But listen, I'm caught with this idea of the Un-Cola. And the reason behind that was they wanted the people to know that they were different. They were different than the other colas. They were not the same. You know, as Christians and as believers today, we want the world to know that we are different. We're called to be different. We're called to not be the same. And so there are certain things about Christians that need to be present in our life to really set us apart and for people to look and see in our lives that these character traits that are a part of who we are. So over the next several weeks, we're going to be talking about un-Christian, and we're talking about some character traits that kind of reflect who we are and who we should be as believers. And the first one that we're going to talk about this morning is unashamed. What does it mean to be unashamed of the gospel? Unashamed of Jesus Christ? Unashamed of our faith? And what does that look like for this day and time in the year 2021? So if you would open up your Bibles to 2 Timothy. We're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we're going to be reading verses 8 through 12 together this morning. And then we're going to talk a little bit about what this means and what this looks like, being unashamed in our faith. So 2 Timothy chapter 1, if you don't have a Bible, it'll be up here on the screen. You also have, you can also look at the notes. You can go to the Bible app, you can go to our website, we'll have those notes for you. You can bring those up on your phone, or you have that piece of paper, you can kind of follow along with that. So, 2 Timothy chapter 1. If you are able, would you stand as we read God's Word this morning? This is what God's Word says in 2 Timothy chapter 1. It says, "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and apostle and teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me." Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the power that is in your word. And our prayer, as always, is that the Holy Spirit would move and work in this place and in our hearts, changing us and transforming us into who you want us to be. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I love this letter to Timothy that Paul is writing. And here's the kind of context with this letter. And this should sound very familiar, because this is kind of what we experience in our day and time. I think it's amazing how God's word is applicable at all times. And so what we have is the Christian faith in its beginning form, as those that were following Jesus and were living, trying to live for him. And Paul was one of those that was passionate for him. Well, what we find is Paul encouraging Timothy to stand strong and to stay strong in his faith, to stand up against the tides of a changing culture, to not cower back and to be fearful with those that are around, or be ashamed of his faith in front of those that are trying to persecute him. I think it's interesting, and really they experience many of the same things that we experience today. They follow Jesus, they give their life to Jesus, but over time, what happens is you have a culture that is coming down upon them, they are pushing back against them, and in essence, many of them have kind of cowered back or been shy and moved away and turned around and walked away from the faith. And Paul was doing everything he could to keep those believers to stand strong, to keep following after Jesus and to be bold. And so listen, we find some very similar things that are happening in our world today. We have believers every day that are turning and walking away from their faith. You know, listen, nowhere in the Bible does it talk about our faith being easy. It's not easy to be a Christian. And so we can identify with what's being said here and know that persecution, although it may look different than what some experience in the world today, persecution is still real. And I will say that I believe it's going to get worse. But as of now, in our country, we don't see the worst of it. But we do have persecution in our world today. And we do have a culture that pushes back on us and on our faith. So let's just be transparent and say this. The culture is going this way. God's word says go this way. Listen, we are counterculture in our faith. What we believe and stand upon is different than what the culture is putting out there today. And when we live for Christ, what happens is we experience pushback from this world. We knew it was coming. Jesus talked about that. We knew what happened to Jesus. We knew what happened to his disciples. So we know it's going to happen to us, and we just have to be prepared. And so Paul is encouraging us today, and he's giving us these same words. Do not be ashamed. Do not turn away from your faith. Do not deny your faith. Do not walk away from Jesus, but be strong and be bold and be confident today. So I want to look just a little bit about what it means to be unashamed. What does it mean to live or to be unashamed in our faith? So pull out your notes. Let's look at this for a little bit as we look at this passage and kind of tie it back into our faith and what it means to be unashamed. To be unashamed, and we find this first in verse 8, it says this, "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord." So being unashamed is this, confidently proclaiming God's word. To be unashamed of your faith and in your faith is to confidently proclaim God's word. Paul says this, "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord." Now listen, Paul knew exactly what he was saying. Listen, right after this, he says, "or of his servant who is suffering." He has the right order, right? I mean, he's not just talking about don't be embarrassed or ashamed of me, but more importantly, do not be ashamed of the testimony of Jesus Christ. And what does that mean? Do not be ashamed of the gospel. Listen, the world today will tell you that there is no power in the gospel, that it's a myth, a legend. Can I just tell you, there is power in the blood of Jesus. That the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, that Jesus laid down His life for you and for me, and in Him we can have forgiveness. In Him we have life. Listen, that is the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Do not be ashamed of the gospel. It is so easy, because listen, I recognize this, and I see this every day, and I identify with all of us, whether you're in a job, whether you are in school, wherever you may be, the world will try to tell you that what you believe is false. That there is a new, almost enlightenment in this world today. I was just talking to someone in the foyer earlier this morning, and we were talking about that the world has a new kind of rhetoric, a new kind of life that people are living, and the words that they say, and they're presenting it as truth. Can I just tell you, don't shy away from the gospel. Do not shy away from the testimony of our Lord. Do not shy away and be ashamed of God's word. The world will try to make you feel guilty that they're offended by the gospel. Can I tell you, for those that do not know Jesus, yes, it's offensive. Because it's the truth. It's God's word. Do not be ashamed of God's word, because there's power in God's word. But also listen to what he says. He goes on and says, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God who saved us and called us to a holy calling. Not only do we live confidently proclaiming God's word, but listen, being unashamed means confidently following God's plan. Confidently following God's plan. He says this, who saved us and called us to a holy calling. Can I just encourage you today, church, and say this? You may not be, called into vocational ministry, you know, being a pastor, a youth pastor, something like that. But listen, we are all called to be ministers. And we all have a calling to live out our faith. God has a plan and a purpose for every single one of us. Now, you may do something different with you. You may have a different kind of career path, but can I just tell you, when we look in God's Word, we are all called to a purpose. We're called to live out our faith. We're called to shine bright for Him and be a light. We're called to righteousness. We are called to holiness. Listen, we are called, and that is God's plan for our life. Can I just say, for us to be unashamed, it means that we are confidently living out God's plan for our life. This is one of the hardest things to do. You know, and I think really the word that in these notes, I have other words underlined, but really probably should have just underlined confidently. Because that's the key word. Because we can live out our faith, right? But many times we live it out in fear. I think the word confident is so important. Confidently, boldly, we live out our faith because we know that our God is powerful. Listen, we are called to live out the purpose that He has for us. Here's what I want you to do, if you would, if you have your Bibles, would you turn to Mark 8, Mark chapter 8. I just want to point this out. It's one of a really powerful verse and passage in Mark 8 that I want to just kind of throw out here and just talk just a little bit, because I think it really highlights this thought of being one that is unashamed and following God's plan for our life. So in Mark chapter 8, what we have is we have Jesus, listen, Jesus doing miracles like He does, and they're amazing and they're powerful. And it makes you wonder, why would people not want to follow Jesus after seeing these things? But yet it always is the case. But He lays out a pretty incredible challenge for the people and the crowds that were there and also the disciples. Look in chapter 8 of Mark, verse 34. And He said this, it says, "And calling the crowd to Him with His disciples, He said to them, if anyone would come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me." Powerful, powerful challenge for those to obediently follow Jesus. Then in verse 35, "For whoever would save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for My sake and the gospel's will save it." I'm talking about counter culture, this is it right here. This is so different and foreign to what our world would say was important. Verse 36, for what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit the soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? Listen, this is what we see every day. That choice that we have to make as people in this day and time to follow the ways of the world or follow after God. To devote ourselves to the world or devote ourselves to God. Listen, many times we want both. I mean, let's just be honest. We want a little bit of both. But can I just tell you, God asks for all of us. And so those are choices that we make. But listen to this last verse. And this is the one, really, it should really send chills down your spine. It should shake you to the core. And it says, for whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. That should shake you to the core. Think about it. Whoever is ashamed of Jesus, when Jesus comes, because can I just remind us, listen, Jesus is coming again. He's going to come. And for those that are ashamed of Jesus, what does it say? He will be ashamed of them. So when we talk about this idea of being unashamed, it really comes down to a word. It's called discipleship. It's called being a disciple of Jesus, following after him. It's about relationship. And for those that turn and walk away, that are ashamed of the gospel, they're denying Jesus Christ, have turned their back, listen, there is no relationship there. And so listen, this should be an eye-opening truth for us. If we're living out our faith, listen, Jesus could come back any moment. So if we're living out our days today, running in an opposite direction of Jesus, what we're doing is we're ashamed. We're ashamed of who he is, ashamed of the truth, ashamed of the gospel. Can I just tell you, please do not be caught when he returns in him being ashamed of you. Listen, that is so harsh, but can I just tell you, it's truth and God's perfect wisdom and love. That's what we read. And I hope that encourages us today. Listen, the time is short. The day is coming. May we live unashamed for Jesus Christ. May we be willing to live our life for him every day. Listen, it's not saying be perfect. It's saying follow him. Know him. Live for him. Proclaim him. Do not be ashamed. Listen, that's what it means to live an unashamed life. So how do we do that? And I know that's so hard. And I do want to just take this passage because I think Paul really lays out some pretty good stuff about how we are to live an unashamed life. I never want to just send you out thinking, oh, I'm not supposed to live ashamed of Jesus, so now what? Listen, I think he maps out some pretty powerful stuff. Look at verse 8. Just look at the very beginning of this. This is what it says. Therefore, do not be ashamed. I want you to circle that word, therefore. Underline it, circle it, whatever you need to do. And listen, I know that seems so insignificant, but a long time ago I learned, if you see the word therefore, find out what it's there for. I mean, that's important. So I want you to hear this. Listen, if we want to live confidently, unashamed of Jesus Christ, the first thing is this. Listen, we have the Holy Spirit to give us power. And listen, it's hard. It's hard to live out our faith in this day and time, but we have the Holy Spirit to give us power. So look at that. It says, therefore, do not be ashamed. Paul's not just laying it out there and say, it's all up to you. Good luck. You're going to need it. Listen, that's not it at all. He says, therefore, which means this. There is something before this verse that should change our life forever. Listen to what it says in verse 7. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Listen, we have the Holy Spirit that dwells within the life of every believer. The Holy Spirit of all power and strength and wisdom in our life today. Therefore, we can live unashamed of Jesus. Today, I want to encourage you and tell you this. Listen, we have the power of the Holy Spirit in our life that gives us what we need to live out our faith and to not cower back, to not be afraid of this world and the changing culture, but to live in grace and mercy and love and power and self-discipline and wisdom in this world through the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit in our life. Listen to what Scripture says about the Holy Spirit. Acts 4:31 says this, "And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the Word of God with boldness." Listen, there is power, life-changing, life-altering power in the Holy Spirit. So church, may we pray and live out Galatians 5:16. "But I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." Walk by the Spirit. Keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Keep in tune with the Holy Spirit. Keep connected with the Holy Spirit, because that's where your power is.
The Holy Spirit
gives us what we need to live a life that is unashamed. But now look at the next few verses, 9 and 10. It says, who saved us and called us to a holy calling. We talked about that. Not because of our works, but because of His own purpose and grace. Aren't you glad today that God has rescued you and He has saved you? If you're a believer today, He has rescued you and given you this salvation in your life, not because of what you do, but because of what Jesus did. Listen, that's an incredible gift that we have. It says, "which He gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearance of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolishes death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." Listen, not only do we have the Holy Spirit that gives us that power, but listen, we have the gospel that gives us purpose. So how do we live unashamed? Because we have the gospel at our fingertips that gives us an incredible purpose. This calling, this plan that we have to allow the Lord to use us to change the world. Listen, we have the gospel. And here's what's so interesting. Many times in our life, and I don't know if you guys are like this, when we talk about the gospel, we automatically just think about the time that maybe we came to know the Lord. That's what we think of. That we think of the time where somebody shared Jesus with us and we gave our life to Him and we asked for forgiveness and turned our life and followed Him. We think about that when we think of the gospel, and many times that's where it stops. Can I just tell you, the gospel is just as powerful in your life when you get saved as it is now to this very day. The gospel is the power with which you live through. Listen, it is so important. The gospel is great and amazing and powerful. Listen, it brings, that was fun. It brings those that are far away into relationship with Jesus. It mends marriages. It brings marriages together. It brings families together. Listen, there is power in the gospel. And listen, we have the gospel to share with all people. But here's what I love about this. Listen to the last part of that verse I just said. It says, "who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." What I love about living a life unashamed is that we do not have to fear tomorrow. Listen, death has lost its sting. If we have Jesus in our life, we're going to live forever with Him. So we don't have to fear a world that pushes back on us. We don't have to fear a culture that questions us. Listen, we can live confidently and boldly, even in the midst of suffering and hardship, because we know that this is not the end, that there is something greater coming. We know the words of Paul, "to live is Christ, to die is gain." Listen, the gospel, the power of the gospel, gives us the purpose with which to live out our faith every day. The last thing is this. In verse 12, Paul says this, "But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me." You know, I believe Paul lived out his faith unashamed, and he was encouraging Timothy to do the same, and for us today, because listen, he knew that we have a God that gives us protection. He gives us protection. I love this. Listen, this is not to say that bad things won't happen. Listen, this is a sinful world. Suffering will come, and it may come sooner for some, but listen, it's going to happen. Jesus told us that. But in the midst of it all, we have confidence that what God has started, He is going to finish. He has entrusted in us this salvation. He has entrusted in us this calling to live out and be a light. And you better believe that God is going to see it through. We have a God who can do all things. And Paul knew this. Listen to what he says. And this is our greatest encouragement to live a life that is unashamed. Here's what he says. He says this. He says, "But I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced." Can I just encourage you today, church? Listen, we are called to live an unashamed life. We're called to live a bold and confident life. And we can look at Paul and we can say, listen, here's how you do it. "For I know." Listen, Paul knew Jesus. And can I just ask you today, do you know Jesus? If you're going to live an unashamed life for Jesus, you better know who Jesus is. And can I just encourage you today, before you leave this place, if you've never made that decision to follow Jesus, if you've never come to the realization that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, if you haven't come to the point of saying, "Jesus, I'm a sinner, forgive me for my sin, come into my life, rescue me," if you haven't turned your life and followed after Him, if you don't know Jesus before you leave here today, know Him. Paul knew Jesus. But not only that, listen, "For I know whom I have believed." Paul didn't just know Jesus, he believed everything he said. Can I encourage you today? If you want to live an unashamed life, believe what Jesus promises us. Know that what he says will happen. What God has promised will come to pass. The words of comfort and strength and peace are real. Listen, believe what God says in His Word. But here's what I love. I love this too. This is how he ends with this. He says, "And I am convinced that He is able." Church, I want you to know this. As we walk through these times, and I get it. Listen, I'm not a doom and gloom guy, but there can be some very difficult times. There are. There's difficult days ahead. I turn on the news and it's depressing. People fighting. Did you know this? And I just want to throw this out, and it's so frustrating. There's a soapbox. I read an article just yesterday of two top believers in top positions, pastors, suing each other. Can I tell you, we live in strange and weird times. Can I encourage you today? Be convinced that no matter what is happening around us, no matter what you are walking through, God is able to do great things. If you're in the midst of a storm, God is able to carry you through. If you're in the midst of family problems, God is able to resolve those problems. God is able. Be convinced. What the world needs to see today is not a church that shakes in their boots. What the world needs to see today are confident believers, unashamed of Jesus, convinced that what God's Word says is true, and nothing and no one will ever change it. Are you convinced? Are you convinced enough to live a life unashamed?